On today's catch up, we get some first-hand experience with homelessness around Perth.
Australian acting royalty, actor Sigrid Thornton.
Ayo. Scott Pape will drop in with some home loan advice.
And our West Aussies from the block, Matt and Elise.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
And we're talking homelessness and this homelessness week here in WA.
You know, guys, we've talked about homelessness a lot and there's some assumptions about people who live rough, people who are out on the streets and how they got themselves in that position. And we've talked about choices and sometimes the choice is just to leave an abusive situation or a place where you're not safe and you think the streets are the best option. And I met some people the other night when I went out with the Salvos and their stories were really shocking because it makes you realise how we're just a bit of unemployment away from in the same situation.
Totally.
If you don't have family or friends to rely on or you're overstaying your welcome, in moments you can be homeless and it could happen to you.
Yeah. And you know what? And I know that this isn't what you're saying, but even people who have made poor choices and have become addicted, you know, that doesn't matter either. They still deserve our help.
They need help.
And they have health problems or mental health problems, you know. Just because they did things that made them end up on the street doesn't mean we forget about
it. And
them.
It's like anything. Everyone's got a different story.
Yeah.
There's no one exact science. And there's, so therefore, there's no exact science or exact way to you know, to help people get back on their feet or back into a home.
No one's pretending it's easy.
Yeah, yeah, it's very, very difficult. Everyone's got different stories. And some people, you know, let's be honest, the one thing that they do have and we all have in common is we want hope. And we've got our dignity. You want to have your dignity. That's one of the most important things.
Well, we would love to hear from the people of Perth. We want to hear your thoughts. 133353. What's your experience with homelessness? Because we know that there's so many people out there who go, yeah, you know what? I have been on the streets or now I've got a place and I'm fortunate. Or people who have gone, man, we came close.
Yeah.
You know, we were living in our car or whatever your situation is. We would love to hear your story. 133353. What's your experience with homelessness?
Yeah. Yes. Maybe a family member that's been affected big time. And might be something that's happened recently or could be something in the past that's, you know, a situation that may be in some way resolved now, but those feelings stay with you forever.
They do.
Something so so profound.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We're talking about homelessness week this week and we thought we'd take your calls on 133353.
Yeah, it's not easy, but we know lots of family members have had families who are homeless and things that have happened and we want to hear what you've gone through. Jennifer's in Mandurah. Jennifer, you had a brother that was homeless.
Yes, I do. I've actually... I have a twin brother who I've recently just kicked out, who has been homeless for a couple of years. Grew up himself or ourselves in a domestic environment and therefore is mentally unstable and just hasn't been given the right guidance and been able to get back on track and just the mental health.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's been really hard.
So we're sorry to hear that, Jennifer. And with your brother, I mean, has he sought, you know, help and resources and are they there and easily available for him?
He has tried. We have tried for many years to find the right help for him, but it's just the mental health issue system is so over-populated and especially with drugs and everything in... It's just people come in and out. So it's really sad because people aren't actually getting properly assessed and diagnosed properly anymore. People are just being pushed through the system, so therefore they're not getting the right help they actually need.
Yeah, very hard for people when it's family, Jen, as well, because, you know, your family members who are erratic or you can't trust them or they may steal from you or whatever. So that you can break your heart, can't it?
Oh, definitely. And also losing my sister to suicide from mental health issues a few years ago was really hard. So then you've also got... the worry of that happening again.
Yeah, the fear. And Jen, that can't have been easy. But, you know, sometimes if they're not able to live in your home, if it's not working out and you're not safe or it's confronting for you, it's not an easy decision to make where you have to ask your own brother to leave.
No, definitely not. It's but you, at the end of the day, you have to put yourself first.
You do.
Definitely. But it was definitely hard to do. It wasn't easy at all, but it had to be done.
And don't want to put you on the spot here, but just interested to know, as someone who's going through this, you know, if you could change sort of one thing today, what would you like to see the government do, for example, to help? Just more resources for mental health and drug issues?
Definitely. There definitely needs to be more easy accessible resources because in their mental mindset at the time, they don't think right. They don't know how to properly process it, for someone to use drugs or anything, there's a reason behind the use of it. They don't just do it for nothing. There is a reason behind everything everyone does.
And, of course.
Obviously, him growing up in a domestic household himself and has been like, you know, there's a cause for everything and a reason for everything.
Of course there is.
It's sad that people like that aren't given the chance, and now they is just looked down and shunned upon because of that.
Yeah.
And it's very sad.
Hey, Jen, thanks for sharing your story today, and all the best.
Okay. Yeah, hope he's okay, Jen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to City Beach. Angela, good morning. We're talking about homelessness. It affected your world with your mum?
Look, my mum was amazing. Unfortunately, mum lost her battle with cancer a couple of years ago, but she managed the Rua Centre for about 12 years in Northbridge.
Right.
And anybody that's homeless would know the Rua Centre.
Yeah, they do a lot.
And mum brought in a lot of programs there. And I think the biggest thing is a lot of them just need a bit of compassion.
Mm.
They've had difficult times and drugs have really impacted a lot. But, you know, Mum used to organise a hairdresser to come in, and they used to come in for showers and all, just someone to actually listen to them. Really, really difficult. And we were just thrilled when, well, not thrilled that Mum died, but we were thrilled that two of Mum's clients actually came to the funeral, and one of them came up to me and just said, your mum saved my life. It was
That's powerful.
It was very powerful, and it just makes think how many more of us could be saving other people's lives.
Well, and this seems to be the issue, Angela, is that there are wonderful people out there like your mum who are helping people in their crisis moment, sleeping rough, but giving them some dignity and some clothes and things that help. But it's that transition from that point into a more normal life, inverted commas, where people seem to not make that jump.
Yeah, and a lot of that, I actually used to work in emergency as well in Royal Perth, so there's nothing I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And really the biggest problem, in most, there is domestic violence, there is lots of other violence out on our streets, but drugs and particularly meth has really changed the landscape. And it makes it really hard to engage people because, and we've got famous footballers who have got the support of everybody. What is just the normal person without all that support? And those lengths, if we can't save someone with all that support, we're really struggling to get the people who don't have the same network.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Angela, thanks for your time this morning. And what a legacy for your mum to leave behind.
Too right.
Yes, thanks very much.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
If you are struggling in any way, and we're talking about homelessness this week, putting the focus on during homelessness week, but if you are struggling and you need someone to talk to, Lifeline will be there for you on 13 11 14.
Yeah, we are very fortunate. If you've grown up in a home where there's no violence, where you're safe, where, if you're lucky enough to have a job and you can take care of yourself, that can change at any time for any one of us.
Certainly. Can.
And that has happened to so many people who suddenly find themselves homeless.
And the key word you said, growing up in a home. Some people just don't have the roof over their head.
No.
We are lucky. We are lucky. And so we want to hear your experiences with homelessness in Homelessness Week. Terry's in Osborne Park. Terry, what's your story?
Oh, hi. Yeah, last year, about May, June, I took in a couple of homeless kids. The connection was one of them had gone to school with my son, but they weren't that close, but on social media they were. But her mother had fallen on hard times and ended up on meth and all that sort of thing, and she had nowhere to go. And but the other thing was she's transgender as well, which was a lot for me to get my head around.
Sure.
I don't really understand it. But she was in a relationship. They were 16 and 17 when I took them in. And, I'm a single mother. I'm just a working single mother. And we only had a tiny place. But they were quite happy just to... So I cleaned out a room and they moved in for about 6 months. And then, they were great. I just laid down some laws and, didn't charge them rent or anything like that. And they got back on their feet. I saw them from being, when they arrived with me, they were just absolutely fraught with anxiety. And by the time they left, they were like really looking healthy. And one of them finished up going home because they had a fight. They sort of split up while they were with me. And then the other one ended up back on the streets, and then social worker took her in, and I don't know what happened.
Mm.
But no, it was just like giving them a break. But the thing I want to say is that some of my friends discriminated against me doing this by taking in homeless kids and transgender as well, which I didn't care.
No.
Your true friends, there were a lot that sort of supported me as well. But, I mean, it was fine. Like, a lot of people are scared to do that sort of thing. But
they're judging you, Terry. You're doing...
Well, and
assisting in getting judged.
And that's not easy. I mean, it's you could say, oh, well, we've, those of us who have a spare room, we could take someone in. But it's still strangers or people that you don't know.
Yeah,
there's still risks associated. And there are some people that can't be trusted. We know that there are, people who are genuinely trying to make it work. And then there are others who get caught up in some stuff where the desperation kicks in. And so it's very hard to know. But well done, Terry, for trying to support some people.
Just one last thing. The one whose mother ended up on the streets, this is very sad, was well-renowned to the streets and also to ER at Royal Perth Hospital. And she was at the bus stop in the city, the big bus station. She was on the ground, and my kid went in, Alex went in there one day and saw her mother, who didn't even recognise her, her own child. That was a very sad thing.
Yeah, so that hollow look. Yeah.
I got other things that mess out there. Anyway, glad
to be
here. Good on you,
Terry.
Wonderful call. And, people will have different experiences with homeless people and they might get yelled at occasionally and go, oh, they're all very dangerous. But we got to, I know this is going to sound really tree-huggy, but we got to try and love people back to, and forgive them for any behaviours that we might find a little bit uncomfortable.
Oh, some of those behaviours, some of those people are threatening, and we've got to be honest about that.
Yeah.
But imagine how threatening everybody else is to those who are sitting sleeping in a shop front. They're in a very vulnerable position.
Yes. The night that we were in the city together, and I saw that guy in the lift at the Pier Street car park, and he could barely put one foot in front of the other, and Kimber almost saw him got run over, which was tragic.
Yeah.
And within minutes, you saw a guy with his shirt off in the middle of winter, in the middle of Perth.
Yeah.
And he actually said, g'day. He said,
g'day, mate.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Come, bud, you're right.
So many different stories
out there. Of course,
Let's go to Hocking. G'day, Mitch. Have you been affected by homelessness?
Well, I haven't been affected myself. I used to work fly in, fly out quite a lot and earn a pretty good wage up north. I came back to Perth recently and worked in the city and haven't been in the city for about 10 years and noticed the homeless population there has considerably grown. So nowadays, probably once or twice a week, I'll grab someone from out the front as I'm walking from the train station. We'll go buy them breakfast. It's good to hear a lot of their stories and see how they got into the position they are. And a lot of people sort of judge as they walk past. I see a lot of people in suits and just ignoring them. Just sit down and have a chat with them or just buy them some breakfast in the morning and you might learn a few things. It's certainly been a good experience for me.
It's a great attitude,
well
Mitch.
Done,
the homeless people I met the other night all said, it'd be nice if someone just acknowledged us. Just give us a smile, even if you're not going to give change, even if you're not going to give food. Maybe just to know that we're human and we're not invisible.
Yeah.
Just give us a smile and say hello as you walk past, even.
Exactly. And a lot of people, they do put hold up signs and everything. Everyone just looks the opposite direction and pretends that they're not there. It's quite sad.
Yeah,
but some people have fear. Well, I can understand that, Mitch. Have you ever been knocked back when you've offered someone some brekkie?
No, I've never been knocked back. And I've had a good chat with a few people out the front of the local McDonald's on Hay Street and, bought them breakfast and... listening to their stories is quite fascinating sometimes. And a lot of them, unfortunately, do come from domestic violence situations, but they're not on the street of any fault of their own. They're it just happens to be circumstantial.
Nobody wants to live on the street.
No.
Nobody
no,
wants to be homeless.
No.
No. Thanks, Mitch.
No, Mitch.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
It feels like Sigrid Thornton has always just been there.
Yes.
Be it small or big screen, on stages around the land and around the world, actually, to be honest. From, Sea Change is coming back tonight, but The Man from Snowy River, Wentworth, the original Prisoner, of course, The Light Horseman, All the Rivers Run, and like I said, a new series of Sea Change on Nine tonight.
She's got that classical face, that was always good for Australian colonial dramas.
Helen Bonham Carter of Australia.
Yes, absolutely,
In some ways better, let's be honest. Sigrid Thornton, back on Sea Change tonight after the block. Welcome, how are you, Sigrid?
I'm really well, thanks. Very well indeed. And kind of coming down off the high of shooting Sea Change, which we only
finished shooting a few weeks ago.
Yep. Oh, so fresh.
Fresh off the press tonight. Yes.
Excellent. Well, Sigrid, I mean, it's not easy getting a cast together 20 years later, but they have managed this time, just about everybody there. But surely it doesn't feel like nearly 20 years since the original sea change, does it?
Oh, it probably feels like maybe 10 years. You know, that's the way time just sort of warps and turns in on itself, probably 10 years, but it certainly doesn't feel like 20 years. My God, no way. But no, and we also have, yes, we have a wonderful group of original cast members, but also this just this fantastic new cast as well who've joined us. And I'm very proud to be working alongside these wonderful actors, all of whom are so distinct from one another. I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of the show too. The characters are unique unto themselves, let's put it that way.
Hey, Sigrid, we've had a real rarity in this country. We've had two John Howards who are household names. It is quite bizarre.
That's true.
It is quite bizarre when you think about it.
I know. Bless, I know. And it's been an absolute wonder coming back to work with John because I think he's one of our great actors in the country. And you should see him free-forming as Bob Jelly. He could run rings around the other John Howard, I imagine.
Even during the morning constitutional run, that other John Howard. But,
yeah, well, you know, that'd be a different story, perhaps. I'm not sure.
He's just like acting royalty, isn't he, John? He's calm.
Yeah, he really is.
Of course, speaking about acting royalty, apart from your good self, Sigrid, the wonderful Kerry Armstrong there as well.
Absolutely. She's with us as well. And it's fantastic to have her back. She's Bob's heart, so, you know, Bob really wouldn't go anywhere without at least wanting to be with Heather. And beautiful Kevin Harrington to come back as Kev, who is the sort of, was always the kind of pure centre of Sea Change and was in some ways the moral compass of the show. So we've got a good smattering of original cast members as well as beautiful new, I mean, it's just, the list goes on.
For those who didn't see the original season of Sea Change, I take it a new generation can tune in?
Yes, indeed. I mean, that's the idea. You don't really have to have known the original show to be able to find what you hopefully like and need in this show, because we've stayed true to the legacy of the original show in that the central themes are it's set in a small community and connection and love are the central pillars of the show. And so that's all the more relevant now than it ever was before, particularly with the advent of social media, which took over only since we made the first show. But no, of course, there are a large number of young new cast members as well. So it's a really, I think it's a really good cross mix for a younger audience as well. Yeah.
Hey, Sigrid, thanks for the chat. We'll see you on the telly tonight.
Great to talk, guys. Thanks, I hope darling. You enjoy the show when you see it. All the best.
Sigrid Thornton, yeah, after the block tonight on Channel 9, so you can't get an exact time. How long's the block going to go?
Well, how long's a piece of string?
How long's Scotty
going to go? Well, Scotty, you know. It's too hard. There's the door.
Has Scotty gone too far this time? Yeah, so you'll see Sea Change. I digress. Sea Change tonight on Channel 9 as well.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Money.
I need dollar.
Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor.
Here he is, the one and only Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor. G'day, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
We're good, thanks, Scott. Now, are we right in thinking the interest rates will go down and so the banks will absolutely pass that on to us and we're all going to save a poultice on our mortgages?
Well, something like that. Although, so today is the big day, whether the Reserve Bank is going to go 3 from 3. For the last 2 months, they've cut interest rates. We're now at a cash rate of 1%, which is a record all-time low. Mm. I don't think they're going to cut today. I think they're probably going to sit on their hands. However, through this cutting cycle, we may see interest rates as low as 0.5%. Yeah. Now, a lot of people in the media say, you know, the typical thing is this is great for homeowners. Everyone jumps up and down. My view is that I think that it's you should be really careful about getting too excited about all-time record low interest rates, because if we do get into a recession, there's just not enough bullets in the economic gun in order to fire up the economy if interest rates are this low right now. So for me, I'm more worried about low interest rates than I am about, you know, cheering them on that the banks may actually pass them on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Scotty, as a sort of, you know, economy 101 class, what do the banks hope, or what does the Reserve Bank hope will happen by this constant interest rate adjustment?
Well, what they're trying to do, they're basically making it up as they go along.
Oh, good, great.
But, well, you know, you look at it and you say, if the economy is somewhat strong, if things are going well, if it's been 25 years since a recession here in Australia, why do we have interest rates so low? All around the world after the GFC, we've seen interest rates go down. The reason that they're down is because they want to fire up the economy. The less money you have to pay on your mortgage, the more money, hopefully, you'll go out and spend. We are living through history right now. Like my father tells me, I paid 18 or 19% on my mortgage and I can't believe him. And I think my son will look at me and say, you really had interest rates as low as 1%. You had a mortgage at 3%. These are strange times we're living through.
Not quite 18% like they were in 1989, mate. Not just the first Tuesday of the month, but there's a bit of profit going on.
Talking about the other bank, the Reserve Bank, and now the Commonwealth Bank, Australia's biggest bank, they don't really care about interest rates because they make money rain, hail, or shine. CBA tomorrow will unveil a just shy of a $9 billion cash profit. So they're doing very, very well there. And the Aussie dollar, rounding out our Finance Geek segment, is at a 10-year low, around 68 US cents. So not good for anyone who's planning an overseas trip at the moment.
Not if you're jetting off or planning right now.
But, you know, good to see Commonwealth Bank can jump on board and put a few more of those We Care ads out into the world. If struggling, we'll help you.
We'll just see if they pass on any cuts that are coming our way.
Bank? The $9 billion one. Hey, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, this month enjoy up to 50% off extra savings at ABC Blinds. They are miracle workers.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Elise and Matt from The Block are here. Welcome, guys. Good to see you both.
Good morning.
Oh, bubbly. Awesome.
Yeah. Always. Look, the pressure starts with you guys immediately because, Matt, you're a carpenter, so does that mean everybody expects you to excel in all trades?
Exactly.
Is that a reasonable expectation?
Yeah, it is. And it at first we thought it was going to be a positive, but I think it put the nerves on me. Like, I was nervous going in because I wasn't sure whether people expected me to get this done and get this done and get that done. And, you know,
he did a ripper job. I'm very proud of him. Aww. He took on more than he had to. And you'll see that throughout the show.
And the implied pressure by the sound of it.
Yeah,
there we go.
Expectation.
But, you know, as Scotty says, if it's... No, I'm not going to say it again.
You love that line,
so,
don't you?
So, welcome. First time we get to meet you and see you in person. And no doubt we will over the course of the series. So we're just getting to know you. And you're from the bush originally, Karoo.
Correct. Yeah, Karoo, yeah.
I sound like I know where that is.
It's Karoo.
Yeah.
It's about halfway between, between Perth and Geraldton.
Okay,
so, yeah, cool. inland from the coast. But, we're a little farming community up there. So.
And Elise, you also?
I'm a born and bred Bunno girl.
Bunbury.
So Bunbury.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. There you go.
So Karoo's pretty much metro area these days, isn't it?
Well, it is, We're getting close. Yeah, the Great Ocean Road's getting closer. So, I came to Perth boarding school, so I haven't really returned, but been down here in Perth, and that's where
he didn't return because he found me.
Of course, that's another show. Love
that is, show.
Love from Bunbury.
You guys are no stranger to The Block. You tried to get in last season. You came close, but then it didn't happen. The dynamic wasn't quite right. The timing not quite right. And so then, Elise, you've gone out and studied
in the
last 12 months so that you could come back and do even better.
Yeah, look, I was not taking no for an answer this time. So me being very stubborn, while working full time and having the kids, I went and did a Dacron design course to make sure that they had no excuse to let me go this time.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What do you study? Scotty Caminology? What's going on there?
That's very difficult to study.
You'll never get that one right.
No, maybe not.
Oh, no, that's more Keith and Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, speaking of Dan last night, I saw a bloke. Now, forgive me, I don't know everyone's name on the show yet, but there was one guy who was being ridiculed by the builders on the show, including Dan the foreman, one of the foreman blokes, because he didn't know how to do a bathroom floor. And I went, So do you feel at times where they're laughing behind your back a little bit?
Are they always laughing?
Well, a little bit. I think in the first week when we arrived, I think obviously everyone's trying to test the waters and everything else. And I think Keith and Dan are one of those major guys. They want to see who's who and they want to stamp their authority. And I think they want to say that we know everything. So You'll see that in this first week that, yeah, both Keith and Dan, I think they across the board say that to everyone, even me,
okay,
as a carpenter.
Testing to see how green people are or how knowledgeable.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, and of course, Scotty's made a big deal. We had Scotty in last week, and he's made a big deal about just how big the block is in square meterage and how much you have to do. Was he joking? Has it been hard?
No,
there is
not.
No joke. No joke about it.
Huge?
Oh, ridiculous. Like, you think of last year and so Elston Week and the Gatwick on top of each other. That's what we're dealing with. And you saw in the first scene that we're digging in that horrible rubble.
Mm.
We go. Our hands are bleeding and our skin's peeled back. So we start off on the back end as well. And it is quite funny to see the enormity of what we actually do. And I still pinch myself daily going, oh, what? We actually did that?
So glamorous TV, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you know.
It's like being a Jenner or a Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. Start off in a mud bath.
When you pulled up at the front, you looked up and it just went and went.
Right.
And it was massive. And three stories high.
Yeah.
And then we sort of got out the back where we started digging and that back half of the building wasn't there. And as the show goes, you can see it actually grow. And the building just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And you're given the floor plan, but it's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
To me, it's a piece of paper at this point in time. Matt's like, this is huge. I'm like, it doesn't look that big.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, as it goes on, you're like, oh God, there's another room.
And God,
there's
who another are you one? Catering for? Let's put the apartment together. But my goodness, who's going to buy this thing?
Oh, like, someone that's got a lot of money better buy our apartment. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, good luck, you two. Good to see you. We'll have you back in being WA
awesome.
Contestants.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Win.
Ha. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Did you win Lotto, Paulie?
No, cricket.
Oh, nice.
I thought he said wind.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't sure.
I think he did.
Speaking of wins and losses, we're going to Rio de Janeiro this morning.
Oh, brilliant.
Excellent.
My baby,
let me get
my
dressed.
My baby smiles at me. We're talking about a chap called Clavino da Silva.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a Brazilian gang leader. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't look him up in the phone book. Lotto da Silvas.
Yeah, Lotto da Silvas.
Also, probably not something you should be Googling, just in case.
Well, it depends what sort of holiday you want to have, really, you know. Because he is a part of the leadership group of the Red Command, which is one of the most powerful criminal groups in Brazil that control drug trafficking in large parts of Rio.
Sure.
So one would imagine a pretty, you know, feisty character.
Yes.
Dangerous character, perhaps.
Best to avoid, yeah.
Well, he has been caught attempting to break out of prison dressed as his daughter.
Oh, dear. That's really funny.
It's all across the news this morning, so if you're, you know, of course, why would you watch TV when you're listening to us? But I'm sure you'll see it. It's pretty creepy.
It's hilarious.
He's got a silicone mask, like a full head silicone mask, a wig. He was wearing a tight pair of blue jeans and a little top, little cut-off sort of pink top with image of donuts.
Sure.
Just need to take a moment. And, and he's been caught by the authorities because he looked a bit nervous.
Looked like something out of a Mission Impossible movie.
It really did, didn't it?
It was quite freaky and intricate.
It was face-off. And he might have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
Yeah, because it looked weird, but it also looked almost real enough that you might go, I think that is a person.
Yeah, it looks a bit robotic, but yeah.
Yeah, I might just let that go through. But anyway, he has been caught. And the authorities are going to move him to a maximum security prison. He will face disciplinary sanctions, but he will get a free makeover.
Love the sound of that.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
The juice.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Musicians on tour spend a lot of days on the road or by plane, and since Ed Sheeran began his Divide tour, he has played 246 dates around the world.
Wow.
In every continent except for Antarctica.
Right.
Pretty
Come
good
on,
effort.
What, he's lazy or?
I asked you to the closest million how much money you think the Divide tour has grossed.
Yeah.
80, Matt, you went with 80 million. Clazy, you went with 43 million.
Yep.
You ready?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
$737.9
$730.
Oh, my goodness.
Nearly $738 million bucks for that one tour. That he's now beaten U2's record of their 360-degree tour in 2009-11.
Matt's head just fell off.
But is he happy?
I would say yes.
Ed Sheeran has sold 8,503,496 tickets to that show.
Holy moly. Yeah, but still hasn't done Antarctica.
No, that's next. No, he's going to buy it.
Now, the Bond franchise is mega.
Dry martini.
Oui, monsieur.
Wait. 3 measures of Gordon's, 1 of vodka, 1/2 a measure of quinoa lily, shake it over rice, and then add a thin slice of lemon peel.
Mm. Oh, what a pain in the ass.
I was going to say, how fussy is that bloke? Yeah.
All right, given you didn't get the Ed Sheeran question, if you were going to cast for a Bond film and you needed an older gent for a cameo role, who are you going to cast?
Testing us again.
Gent, Bond films, got to be classy, got to be someone who can carry the weight of that role.
Yeah.
John Wood.
John Wood.
Blazy.
I was hoping you wouldn't go with the same one as me. I thought Sam Neill.
Oh, he would be good.
But I don't reckon.
Good choices.
Something a little different.
But they're actually looking at Prince Charles.
Oh, dear.
Really? Oh. Prince Charles. They loved the buzz around the Queen's appearance alongside Daniel Craig, and they think that Charles could top that. And the possible cameo in Bond 25 was reportedly brought up when the Prince recently visited the film set, posing for photos with Craig.
Yeah.
And now he's considering a cameo role. And so they said if he turns it down, they might try and go to Harry and William and see if they want to go, because they just want royals in it, I think. But
what about Prince Edward? Isn't he the artist of the family? He never gets a Guernsey.
Oh,
does
never
he?
Gets a chance. Well, and the Bond 25 movie has been stricken with problems too, because Danny Boyle quit directing. There was an explosion on the film set. Daniel Craig needed surgery for an ankle injury. So it's been a bit riddled with stuff, this film.
Those old man soft tissue injuries.
Was he running on the surface at Optus?
You got to be careful with that, don't you?
And in the third story for you on this beautiful, juicy day, my 22nd birthday, I had drinks at the Flying Scotto in Mount Lawley.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just yesterday.
Kylie Jenner rented a $250 million yacht for her 22nd birthday.
With Ed Sheeran? Mm.
She's going around on a luxurious 300-foot yacht and will be sailing with her family and friends around the Mediterranean.
Nice.
The yacht is a whopping $1 million per $1 million per week to rent it.
Okay.
And it comes with 10 cabins, a sauna, a helipad, a beauty salon, steam room, jacuzzi, and a swimming pool with underwater lights.
But is she happy?
Don't be envious.
That's never. Yes!
Oh, by the way, which Spice Girl is turning 47 today?
Oh, is it Jerry?
Jerry!
47!
Ginger is 47 today. How's that?
Mind you, it was probably like when they're casting Neighbours. They were probably 28 when they were playing the role of like 19-year-olds.
Playing kids.
Yeah.
That's depressing, actually. That mostly when you do those, they're older than me, but they're younger.
There you go. Hey, nice juice, KC.
Oh, hang on. Paulie's jumping in.
Yeah, which Spice Girl can carry 20 litres of fuel?
Oh, it's an early joke. What do you got?
Who? Jerry can.
Oh, dear. Happy birthday, Jerry.
Can we cancel
the joke at 8:55 now? Yeah. We'll just replay that one.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Come on, it's Charles and Gibbon. Siddle struck, yes, the finger goes up.
Cut!
Yeah. Is there anything on that? Is there anything on that? Yep.
Cut! Yeah!
Oh, gone. That's gone. Yeah. Castled.
This sounds like they're smacking it.
Is there any better feeling than the finger going up?
Love that finger.
It's just wonderful.
The big finger. Look, Australia has won the first test in the Ashes series there at Edgbaston with Nathan Lyon taking six wickets and 2 centuries for Steve Smith, man of the match.
Kimber, opinion.
Yeah. Does this mean everyone can go back to sleep now?
No, we've got 4 more of those.
It's only the beginning. Sorry.
They're long games, aren't they?
Takeout items. Great effort from Gary Lyon.
And I think Steve Smith got another century,
Steve Smith.
Got 2.
And it was that one in the... It's always the first dig. It's the first innings runs that are most important. We were 8 for 122. That game turned around because of that innings from that fine young man.
Oh, good to know.
And they say, Kimber, that the first test in a series like this is the most important because the English press will go bananas about this. The pressure will be on Joe Root and his men.
Oh, I've heard a couple of interviews, and it's good that you guys teach me about this because then when I go on to my next radio show, I've got plenty of things to talk about.
You do. It's all setting you up for the future.
Two shows. She's moonlighting.
First win at that game for 18 years too, of course.
Kimber's, thanks. Sorry, I'm just going to write this down. Hang on.
No, it's all good. No, Kimber's got her own cricket podcast. It's all we'd listen to that.
Zero subscribers.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Am I being a bit self-indulgent with this Queen's Park thing?
Because you were emotionally connected to it. We've spun the suburb of Queen's Park on the wheel, yeah. And that's the next one to get one of your songs.
I can't stop thinking about, I'm having so many memories flashing back. And I was thinking the other day, because my grandparents, Harold and Ruth, mm-hmm. from Blackpool, they loved bingo.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time with our Nana and Pop, so we were always going to bingo. And one of the bingo places was the Queen's Park Recreation Centre.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all I can remember is my eyes burning from the cigarette smoke in there, and also my Nana over my shoulder. And she, because people have different calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people, some say bingo.
Yeah, yeah.
But my Nana always went, right.
Oh, really? As in, she
right,
had it all.
Yeah, I got
so
it.
So that's all.
Right.
Yeah. And so another one.
There you go. So Matt's hit your meal on Friday.
I know. I'm not going to get through it without crying.
Oh, bless.
Come on, mate. Yeah. You'll be right.
I'll be right.
We'll help you through. Yeah. Hold your hand. On the earlier question, yes, you are.
Well, overindulgent.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning.
Oh, you bet.
It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
You've probably seen me wandering around all proud today.
We have.
Yeah, my girlfriend says I've only got two faults.
Yeah,
one, I don't listen, and something else.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.